turned any in, but if there are some memory verses you would like, well, let me just back up here. We're thinking about, what if our Bibles were taken away? What scripture verses would we want in our hearts? Like with the Ukrainians. Say we had to go on the run like some of them are right now. What verses would you want in your heart to help you and encourage you to share with others in need? And so I'd like to do Philippians 4, 6, and 7 to start off. But what I'll do, too, is put these on the website. I haven't done this in a long time, but along with the Bible reading on the website are some scripture memory verses. What I do is I read them through 10 times in a row. And, you know, maybe you like to memorize with 3x5 cards. I've done that many times. But even going down the road, keep looking down at a 3x5 card isn't always as safe probably as it should be. But if you have it on your phone where you can just have your phone turned on or have some earbuds in, you can listen to it. And so I've read those verses 10 times in a row. And so just to keep it going through our mind. So maybe going to the store, going to work or something. So anyway, I say that to say, if you want some certain verses online that you can memorize in that way, just turn them in the offering plate or give it to my wife or myself, and we'll get those out there for you anyway, online. And we'll also work on them in church. So we'd like to spend some time getting the Word of God hid in our hearts. So let's go through this. We'll do Philippians 4, 6, and 7. And we'll go through it three times. So, okay. Philippians 4, 6, and 7. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians 4, 6, and 7. Okay, we go back to verse 6, and then before we start reading, though, let's just think about this. Okay, we're on the run. We don't have our Bibles with us. We're being bombed. We might not have a lot of food or any food with us. So it's comforting our hearts. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. And you know, when you're on the run, when times are really hard, sometimes we forget about that part, don't we? To be thankful, to thank God for what we do have. Brother Tim was talking about that this morning, just the missions trip to Haiti reminded us just of how much we have here. And so let's say it again. Philippians 4, 6, and 7. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians 4, 6, and 7. Okay, we'll go back to verse 6. Okay, Philippians 4, 6, and 7. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians 4, 6, and 7. Could I have one of you guys volunteer to just read through it? One of you guys? Brother Johnson? Okay.
Philippians. We've all been saved together.
You can just go ahead and say it.
Philippians 4, 6, and 7. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus.
Okay, and could we have another one of you guys volunteer to read through? Okay, Brother Ethan?
Philippians 4, 6 through 7. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus.
Okay, can I have one more volunteer, one of you guys? Okay, Brother Jim, on this time, while Brother Jim does it, I want you to close your eyes and see if you can think ahead with him, okay? So go ahead, Brother Jim.
Philippians 4, 6, and 7. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus.
Okay, amen. Okay, so if you have some verses, just think about that as you're reading your Bible. There's some important verses you would want hit in your heart. Let us know, and we'll work on those, and we'll try to get those online so that you can refresh, and others can do it. When you're traveling, driving somewhere, that's a good time. So, okay, then let's go to Revelation chapter 2 and verse 12, Revelation 2, 12. And Dad, would you lead us in prayer, please, sir? Amen. Okay, we start the third church here, Revelation 2:12. And to the angel of the church in Pergamos write, these things saith he which hath the sharp sword with two edges. I know thy works, and where thou dwellest, even where Satan's seat is. And thou holdest fast my name, and hast not denied my faith, even in those days wherein Antipas was my faithful martyr, who was slain among you, where Satan dwelleth. But I have a few things against thee, because thou hast there them that hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed unto idols, and to commit fornication. So hast thou also them that hold the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which thing I hate. Repent, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will fight against them with the sword of my mouth. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and will give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name written, which no man knoweth, saving he that receiveth it. In each instance, as the Lord writes to his churches, he first gives a description of himself. If you back up to chapter 2 here in verse 1, chapter 2 and verse 1, it says, unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. And then if you drop down to verse 8, and unto the angel of the church in Smyrna write, these things saith the first and the last, which was dead and is alive. And then if you drop down to verse 12, which we read, and the angel of the church in Pergamos write, these things saith he which hath the sharp sword with two edges. Now, I don't know what that reminds you of, but so we're thinking, okay, why did the Lord want this church to think of him as the one who holds the sharp sword with two edges? Well, that immediately made me think of the Word of God. Notice in Hebrews 4:12. The Bible says, for the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any what?
Two-edged
sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and as a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. You know, sometimes Sometimes news media asks politicians a question and they don't answer the question, you know, they go somewhere around it. But when you think of a sharp two-edged sword, a two-edged sword cuts straight. Okay, so a regular knife, if you were to thrust it into meat, would cut toward the sharp part of the blade, not the dull part. It would tend to cut that way. But a sharp two-edged sword is going to cut straight and right deep as well. So it says here in verse 12, a piercing even to divide asunder of soul and spirit. It cuts deep. It cuts quickly. You know, we're made in the image of God, and it says there that it pierces even to the divide asunder of soul and spirit. So remember, God is a three-part being. Well, I should say God is a Trinity. He's three in one. We're the three-part being. But notice in 1 John 5:7, God is three persons in one. We do not worship three gods. We worship one God in three persons. 1 John 5:7. For there are three that bear record in heaven. The who?
Father.
The Father, then who?
Word.
The Word, and then who?
Holy Ghost.
The Holy Ghost. And these three are what?
One.
So we're not polytheist, poly meaning many. We believe in one true and living God in three persons. Then if you look at 1 Thessalonians 5:23. So shouldn't be a surprise then that God created us as three part beings. God didn't create us as three persons, but we have three parts to our being. 1 Thessalonians 5:23. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray God your whole what? Spirit and what? Soul and what? Body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So our body, our soul, our spirit, we are three part beings. And the word of God back in Hebrews 4:12, the word of God cuts right down, dividing asunder soul and spirit. The word of God speaks to our innermost being. It was like the woman at the well. She was religious, she said, but she still had her immorality. Notice in John chapter 4, and notice how Jesus answers that. In John chapter 4, in verse 16, John 4:16, Jesus saith unto her, Go, call thy husband and come hither. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, Thou hast well said, I have no husband. For thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband, and that saidest thou truly. The woman saith unto him, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers, what?
Worshipped
in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. So he brings up this matter, and she immediately is saying, in effect, that, Sir, you've got your religion and I've got mine. How does Jesus answer that? Well, he goes on in verse 21. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. So he answers that by saying, Ma'am, it's true worship is not just going to a place. It's not just going to a certain mountain, a certain building. That is not true worship. Verse 22, ye worship, you know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. So as we'll see in a different study, this is a need in her life of repentance here. Salvation is of the Jews. And dealing with Muslims, they've just got to get it down. You know, salvation is not through Muhammad. Salvation is not through their false Messiah. Salvation is through Jesus Christ. And him alone. Verse 23, but the hour cometh and now is when the what?
True
worshipers shall worship the Father in what?
Spirit.
Remember, the word of God cuts down between the soul and spirit. True worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in what? Truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in what? Spirit and in truth. So he's trying to tell this woman, ma'am, true worship of God is not some outward thing we put on. It's not just some place we go, you know, to put in our dues every so often. It's in spirit and in truth. And that's where the Word of God cuts down to that point. So, you know, to have a religion, what did her books tell her about that? What did her religion say about the way she was living? God, the Word of God cuts straight to our core, our spirit, our soul. And what's interesting, if we go back to Hebrews chapter 4, is the very next verse. We read Hebrews 4:12. If we go to verse 13, then it says, neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. So we have the written word, the Bible, and we have the living word, which is Jesus Christ. John 1:14, the word was made flesh and dwelt amongst us. That's Jesus. And so he knows all about us, all about us. Brother Tim had a good message and talked about that at the nursing home today as well. God knows. He knows all about us. And so as we go back to Revelation 2 then, Jesus here pictures himself as the one in Revelation 2:13. It was verse 12, Revelation 2:12. And to the angel of the church in Pergamos write, these things saith he which hath the sharp sword with two edges. So it makes us think, okay, Jesus is the one with the sharp sword with two edges. That gets right down to my spirit and soul. So it's not some front I'm putting on. This Jesus knows the truth right down in my spirit and my soul. And so he uses his word, the word of God, Hebrews 4:12. And so then what does he say after telling this church in Pergamos that? Verse 13, he says, I know what? Thy works. You see how it fits right along? Hebrews 4:12, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to divide and asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow. It is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Then he goes right on, neither is there any creature. He sees it all. He sees everything. And he says to the church here, I'm the one with a sharp two-edged sword. In verse 13, he says, I know thy works. I know. Nothing escapes his knowledge. Have you noticed with all three of these churches, not only does he picture himself in a certain way to make them think in their mind a certain picture, but the very next thing he always says is, I know your works. If you go back to Revelation 2:1, he said unto the angel of the church of Ephesus, write these things, saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know what? Thy works. You go down to verse 8. And unto the angel of the church in Smyrna write, these things saith the first and the last, which was dead and is alive. I know what? Thy works. You get down to verse 12. And unto the angel of the church in Pergamos write, these things saith he which hath the sharp sword with two edges. I know what? Thy works. To every church he says that. This is what I want you to think. I want you to picture in your mind about me. And now I want you to know that I know your works. I know what you're doing. God is paying attention to what his church is doing. And so now with us, as we think, Well, what is the church? It's not this building, is it? It's us. It's born-again, blood-washed believers. We are his church. We are his body. So he knows our works. He said it to every church thus far. Now, what does he see in us as a body? What are we doing? What does he want us to be doing? Well, let's go to Matthew 28, Matthew 28, 19. God left his disciples with some orders, often called the Great Commission. In Matthew 28, 19, what does he want us to do as a church? Verse 19, what's the first word?
Go.
Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. So God wants us involved in missions. And by the way, Brother Wall sends his greetings to you. And he told a couple of churches some time ago down there, I don't know how many years or months ago, that he would like to build them some buildings for those two churches. And so we have an opportunity coming up there to help in missions. What you saw in your bulletin this morning, we had an opportunity to help in that and the different things he has gotten for the airplane. So what does he see us doing? Doesn't it amaze you that when some of our missionaries have a need and we give to that need, doesn't it just amaze you how the Lord just replenishes that? Have you ever noticed that? We don't say, well, wow, gas is going up, inflation is going up. We better sit on this mission money because we might need it to just give our missionaries support. I mean, we may suffer some hard times. Well, we've tried not to sit on the money. We've tried to, when it's there, to use it. When a missionary has a need, we've tried to use it. And that's what God wants us to. He wants us to get the gospel to the end of the earth. He wants us to reach all nations. So we've tried to do that through missions. And we need to pray. We need to be sensitive that God would help us. This is God's desire and will for us as a church to get out his word. Also in Psalm 68, God has given us some other tools to help in this other aspect. Psalm 68:11. Psalm 68:11. The Bible says the Lord gave the word. Great was the company of those that what?
Published it.
So we're trying to publish it, to provide it. Right now, for the Philippines, we have two or three requests for Balik buy-in boxes. And those of you who have seen the Balik buy-in boxes know that there's a lot of material that goes into each one of those. And so we have the opportunity to get the gospel in the Philippines. So it's exciting, isn't it, to just be a part in God's work and to be able to fulfill that great commission. And he's given us the tools to publish his word. So that's our desire. Another thing God wants us, as he looks down from heaven, remember at each church he said, I know thy what?
Works.
What is he seeing us do? Let's go to Matthew 25. This is one thing we want to do tonight. Matthew 25, 34. Matthew 25, 34. And this is known as the judgment of the nations. And maybe we should just back up to verse 31. Verse 31 says, when the Son of Man shall come in his glory and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. And before him shall be gathered all nations. And he shall separate them one from another as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was an hungry, and ye gave me what? Meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me what? Drink. I was a stranger, and ye what? Took me in. Naked, and ye what? Clothed me. I was sick, and ye what? Visited me. That's what we want to do tonight. I was in prison, and ye what? Came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hungered and fed thee, or thirsty and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of who? These my brethren, ye have done it, what? Unto me. And that's what we want to do tonight. We want to visit Sister Evella and be an encouragement to her in her weak physical condition. So tonight we're going to end at that point because we want to get to Sister Evella's house. But I want us to ponder that. Are there some ministries, some things that we can do as a church? As the Lord looks down upon us, what does he see? Maybe you can think of something that we should be doing. Maybe you can think of something that we could be doing in Jesus' name. Doing something to get the gospel out or doing something to be a blessing and a help to someone. Ponder that. And if God brings something to your heart about that, see one of us and see about the possibility of if we can meet that need. As the Lord looks down upon us, he sees what we're doing. He wants a church, as we've seen in these churches, he wants a church that is pure and holy and with the right motive. Remember the very first church, he commented about their works, and then he commented about their works again. Remember the church of Ephesus? But they had lost what? Their first love. So this is not an exercise in just being busy all the time. This is something that we do with all of our hearts, that we want to do for the Lord. So just ponder that and think about that. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. And Lord, I pray that you would help us as you look down from heaven and you looked upon your church and you always mentioned there in these first three that you knew their works, you saw their works. And Father, I pray that you would look down upon your church here and would be pleased. Not just that we're trying to be busy and use up time, but Lord, that we would be serving you with all of our hearts, that we would have that first love. And whatever we do, that we would do it gladly and willingly. May that be true of our service for you. May you be pleased when you look down upon your flock here. We pray in Jesus' name.